This season of the Mum Break podcast is brought to you by Bathorium, Canada's favorite clean and green beauty bath products. They make all natural bath bombs, bath soaks, bubble baths, and accessories with no artificial fragrances or toxins. And they're vegan and ethically produced. To get 15% off, go to mumbreak.ca/bath.
Welcome to the Mum Break podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off, hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours.
So I'm just trying to figure out how we connected, because I feel like, and like you said to me in DMs, I just feel like we've just chatted for so long, and we've been in kind of this space together for so long, and our kids are the same age. I can't recall how we got introduced, but I'm so glad you sent me your book, and it's just made me kind of obsessed with you a little bit in a very healthy way, because Aubrey loves your book, and it's all about how kids deal with change, and that's what I was really hoping to talk with you about today. So before we jump into things, maybe you can just introduce yourself and let people know why they should also be healthily obsessed with you.
Thank you, Erica. Kind of likewise, I've been following you for a while, and I love all your content. It helps moms feel us alone, helps us feel normal. We are not alone. It's just so nice to be able to find someone who speaks so authentically about motherhood, the real everyday struggles and joys. That's the thing. You also talk about the joys and how your children bring you so much joy in your life, but at the same time, it's okay for us to struggle. So I'm so glad I also came across your page. And I actually started my page about 2.5 years ago when I was in the thick of it with a newborn and my son. And I was on mat leave. It was a horrible winter when I had my daughter. It was really bad. I couldn't go anywhere. She was a highly sensitive baby. And I just felt kind of like the world was closing in some days. And I wanted to start a page to help mothers feel less alone. So that's where Mother Care Journey came from. I actually wanted to call it Mother Care, but there's a very popular clothing brand called Mother Care. It was taken, as I discovered. So I decided to put the word journey at the end because I really think that it is a journey that we go through. I don't think we ever quite reach that state where we feel like I'm 100% feeling like I can cope. I am 100% on top of everything. I think it's a journey where we continue to work towards our well-being, and how to cope each day with the demands of motherhood and life, really. So I started my page. It was mostly geared towards maternal mental health and emotional well-being. And then I started to talk more about children, the emotional well-being of our children, because I found when we are able to support our children, it helps us as mothers so much.
Yes.
Right? When our children are struggling and we don't know how to support them, we're not sure how to cope ourselves or regulate ourselves, we are not able to help our children regulate very well. So that's just another way I help to support moms. I've been working as an occupational therapist for about 9 years now. I started off in mental health. So I was working on an inpatient mental health unit at the hospital. So people that needed to be hospitalized because their mental health was just, it was really impacting their ability to function. And then I had to leave that job because it was extremely demanding and I had two little ones and I decided to work as a pediatric OT. It was a less demanding role, less days of the week. I had school holidays with the kids, so that all made it really tempting to go for that job. And it's been the best change that I've made because I found like this is what I was meant to do, to work with children. And I can incorporate parts of the mental health piece that I learned from my other job with helping a lot of the children I work with. Because to be honest, I was shocked at how many children I was asked to work with that have anxiety and really difficult, just really difficult circumstances that were making it hard for them to cope and function at school. So that's kind of mean. And I have two kids, Yusuf and Layla. Yusuf is 5.5 and Layla turns 3 next month. And I've been living in Canada my whole life, just embracing the winters and Enjoying the summers. Loving the fall.
Yes, fall is actually my favorite season. It's kind of the best of both worlds. But I want to just take a step back to occupational therapy, because I kind of know what it is and what it encompasses, but can you give people a high level overview of what an occupational, well, let's say, because I know you do so much and there's so many different scopes to the practice, but let's say a pediatric occupational therapist, what do they do specifically? I didn't learn that myself until we started seeing one with one of my kiddos. So I don't know that it's super well known, as I should say.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something very common that I get asked. So I'm really glad you brought that up. So as a pediatric occupational therapist, I might say OT, to make it a bit shorter. A big part of my job entails observing children. So what we do is we observe children. We gather information on what their day looks like, what the behaviors are that are creating some challenges in their day. And we try and come up with ideas and solutions with their parents and their teachers, who know them a lot better than we do, as to how to best support their emotions. Their emotional, their sensory, their physical, and their learning needs. So we kind of look at a holistic approach as to what elements of their life are being impacted right now. What are they having a hard time coping with? We also really understand that any behavior that a child exhibits usually has a function to it. There's an underlying reason. As hard as it is for us parents to be detectives and figure out why are they doing this, that's where we come in and we try to figure out, okay, what is happening before the behavior? What happened 2 days before the behavior happened? And we kind of try and find a pattern. Okay, so they get really, really upset when it's time to leave the house. Why is this such a big concern for them? Let's dig a little deeper. So we really try and find the underlying reason, because we really believe that that is where we need to focus at the root. We can always try and find a behavioral strategy like, oh, well, maybe we should try this or try that. But then I like to think, why is this behavior even happening? And let's go to the source. So that's something that we do a big part of our job revolves around. We also work with children with physical needs. So we prescribe walkers, wheelchairs, braces, anything that they need to be able to function better in their environment. Equipment needs at home. So I see some kids at home that are following an injury or an illness or a surgery, and they need some equipment to help them in the bathroom or getting around their house. So we look at that as well. And the other part of it is their self-care skills. How are children able to dress themselves and toilet and bathe and do the things in their life that they need to be able to do? So we look at self-care as a big part of our job. We help children with their fine motor skills. So are they having a hard time putting on their clothes because their fine motor skills need some improvement? So we look at that. We give some strategies on fine motor skills. Basically, we take a holistic approach to focus on what does this child need to be able to do or want to do in their life. And we help find ways for them to do those tasks. We either adapt the environment or we adapt the task. We figure out a task to make the, easier, or we work on the child's skills to help them function better. So that was
so good to hear. No, but it's a lot, because I know that it encompasses a lot, but as a parent specifically, it makes me feel so light and maybe not comfortable, but almost free, that some of these struggles, and as having experience with a sensory kid and lots of, like, excessive tantrums and just all of these things, having worked with an occupational therapist, that is literally was our turning point in behavior management and things like that, because we realized that because this kid didn't like soft textures, hey, guess what? Instead of giving them oatmeal, let's give them crunchy Cheerios. And then there was no meltdown. Like, it was the figuring out the root and making those changes. It makes me feel calm hearing you talk about these strategies, because it has improved my life so substantially. So thank you for all that you do.
Absolutely. And I'm so, so glad that you were able to seek the support and find it. I think a lot of parents struggle to advocate for their child for them to keep saying something is not right. It's really hard. It's impacting our life. It's impacting my child's life, and I need help. And I'm so, so glad whenever I hear a parent that has been able to access some support because I know it's not always easy to come by. So to all the parents listening, keep advocating for your child. You can find ways to help make your life and their life more, you know, easier and enjoyable and smoother.
I love that you say that, because it highlights something with my experience in that, and again, I'll just keep saying one of my kids, but if you guys follow me and know, you know who I'm talking about, but just for the sake of the conversation, one of my children, we really struggled with their behaviors. And for years and years and years, it became more of an emotional, physical toll on us as parents. And people kept saying to us, well, this is normal. This is just how kids are. This is this and this is that. And while it's common, and it's something that I'm sure people deal with, we want it. And I remember my OT saying, well, why are you here? Is this, it's because we can't deal with this behavior anymore. It's affecting us and the family as a whole in a negative way. And we were so lucky to be able to find that care. And we were also lucky because our insurance covers it and supports it. And it's been wonderful. But I think as parents, you know what feels like, because my other kid, to me, just feels like, you know, developmentally a typical, at that milestone, the sets of challenges feel very typical or normal. Whereas the other kid, it felt like something more. And I knew that I needed to take that next step, but it was really hard to do. And there was a lot of pushback, to be honest, because you don't know. And I didn't even know to seek OT. It took a year and a half before we even went to see an OT and struggle with things for a year and a half, because I didn't know they existed and what they were capable of. So I'm so excited to have you here.
Thanks, Erica. Thank you. I'm so glad it helped you and helped one of your children.
Even your book, so it's all about change. We read your book with Aubrey every night now. I give her a choice of two books to read, and your book is always one of them, mostly partly because it has this wonderful underlying message, and partly because it's the perfect length. It's not too long. Yeah.
That was intentional, by the way. I have the same thing with my children. It's not a problem. It's great that they love to read, but yeah, sometimes those books get really...
Yeah, like stop making children books for 4 and 5 year olds, like 80 pages long. I'm sorry. We have one called Amelia Bedelia, and it's like a zillion pages.
Yeah.
And it goes, and I literally just take it and skip like 5 pages at a time, because it's so redundant and so long-winded that I just skip page and I only read the quotes. So she probably thinks the book is actually like 3 minutes long, but it would take normally 30 minutes to read. I'm like, no, I don't have time for this at 7 o'clock at night. So thank you for writing an appropriate length children's book.
My pleasure.
But it's all about change, and there are maybe I'll let you speak to what are, and again, there are so many different underlying reasons and reasons why change could be problematic for kids. So I want to talk sort of generally high level, because every kid is different, right? Mm-hmm. So just to be clear that this conversation is sort of meant to be more high level, speaking to the broader audience as opposed to specific needs and requirements, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So what do you see are some of the most common struggles and moments and situations where kids, and let's say, you know, the ages that you deal with, struggle with change? Are, you know, going to school, like what are those moments that we need to be aware of as parents?
Yeah, excellent question. I would say, oh gosh, such a big percentage of my job is just dealing with transitions, helping children at school, at home, with transitions, which whether it's just getting out of the house in the morning, going to school, dealing with that separation. Right? I think a lot of children that struggle in the morning to get out of the house, it's not because they don't want to put their coat on. It's not because of, you know, I just don't, you know, don't like being out in the cold. I don't want to leave. It's because they know that there's a pending separation from you, from the person they love most in the world. And it could be that yesterday a friend said something mean to them, or a classmate won't share their toys, or they got reprimanded for something at school. And all of these things build up a little bit of anxiety in our children. It's just like us adults, right? If you're going to work and yesterday you had a really big confrontation with someone, or your boss said something to you, you're probably not going to be in the greatest mood to leave the house. Yeah. Right? So I always try and like help explain it, because it helps us empathize, right? And have that compassion for our children and for ourselves, that it's not your fault. There's nothing that you are doing wrong. It's just your child is a person with feelings. And I talk about this on my page, the frustration beaker. which can also help us when we're thinking about change with our children. So we wake up in the morning, let's say our frustration beaker is at 10%. We didn't sleep so great last night, we had a hard night. So we wake up and we're already feeling that little bit of frustration. We get up and we realize the toothpaste, we've run out of toothpaste, it's up to 20%. One of our children is having a meltdown because they don't want to have breakfast. Our frustration beaker is up to 40%. And then our frustration beaker continues to build until it overflows. The same thing happens with our children, right? The day before their sibling said something to them. They had a fight with a kid at school. They fell, they're hurt, they didn't sleep well. That beaker is going to keep filling. And then it could be the smallest thing. You give them the yellow cup instead of the orange cup and they have a huge meltdown. And it's not about the cup. It's about the series of events that led up to that cup, that led up to that one last thing that, you know, like the straw that broke the camel's back, that led them to have that meltdown. So I think about this a lot with my own kids and with the kids I work with at school. You know, if they're going through a change, that frustration beaker is probably already half full from the minute they wake up. So to just be mindful of that, that they are already trying to process and cope a lot of things. So if there's a change in their life, starting a new school, moving, starting a new class, a new teacher, it could be a new teacher, a substitute teacher for one day that throws them completely off, a new classmate, a friendship that dissolves, right? There's just so many things that can happen in our children's day and in their lives that they don't have the tools yet to process and cope with. And I think even us, a lot of adults, we struggle to cope when these things happen. So sorry, back to your question. Most of the common changes that I see are transitions to school, transitions back home from school. This can be a daily thing that parents are trying to cope with. There's this thing called after school restraint collapse. And it's basically how when our children come back to their safe place, their home, that is where they feel that they are able to let go of all the buildup of emotions they've had that day. And I noticed this with my son last year when he started kindergarten. The interesting thing is that year, like last year, I had so many referrals for children who were struggling to transition to kindergarten. And as my son was starting, I was able to see the other side of it, why he would come home every day completely wiped out. And I realized that it's because one of the reasons is, yeah, he's away from me. It's different. It's a transition. But at the same time, kindergarten classes are so overstimulating. They're amazing. Reading. They're fun. I had a great time observing children in there. But what we have to realize is that children also make it to a point where they have an overloaded sensory system. It is so hard for them to cope. They are dealing with so many things. They know that they can't always let out their real emotions in class. They might get in trouble. They save that for us when they get home. So that's another part of the transition, that just getting them home, giving them that time, that space, feeding them right when they get home, giving them a calming corner, a calming space for them to sit and just breathe and just let it all out. So that's one of the other transitions. Moving is a big one. Moving schools. I worked with students who were at one school and they moved to another school. They asked me to see them because I was the same person that saw them at the old school, and that can always pose a challenge. And I'll get into all the specific ways to help children cope with these later on, but those are pretty much the main ones. A separation, a family separation of some sort. It's really hard for children. A parent traveling, even, like, it could be a very small, you know, just a little difference in their day where it's usually the parent, that parent that puts them to bed, or that parent that drops them off to school, and now it's the other parent having to do that because the other parent's away or traveling or working. So any kind of little disruption in their day can create a lot of anxiety and stress, especially for children who already have an underlying sensory need. So yeah, I would say school, moving, any kind of family dynamic difference, or parent traveling or separation.
Well, it's so interesting. First of all, I love your beaker analogy. I think that that's so wonderful, and it's such a perfect visualization for parents to understand, because so often, like my husband as an example, like I think men and women, or I'm not even going to go there. I mean, you know, different partners can tend to parent in different ways, have different styles always. It's not It's pretty normal that different partners have different parenting styles, but my partner, my husband, sees that moment where that they melt down over the wrong color cup, like you were saying. But that analogy is so great because it's not, like you said, it's not about the cup. It could be about so many different underlying things. And as a parent, it really helped me then not panic and freak out about the cup, because for so long, every time, you know, someone threw a meltdown about the blue cup instead of the pink cup, I would then get upset about, well, it's just a cup, pick the cup. Like it's not a big deal. But realizing that it's just what's overflowing the beaker, right, is pretty, as a parent, really helpful, and it helps lighten the load a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. And then, oh gosh, I could talk about this for forever. There's just so much with change. You know, when you add the year 2020 to all of it, and starting a new school, already going through transitions, and then the whole year being a big year of transitions for them, it becomes even more understandable that children are having a hard time with any transition in their life. It's just when you think about it, most of us don't love change, even us adults. Yeah, we we enjoy getting new things. But for the most part, we're creatures of habit, right? So starting a new job or buying a new house can create anxiety for us, or an uncertainty, even when that change is the positive one. So when you think about our children who have very little control over their day, we're pretty much telling them when they're going to be doing everything. We're announcing to them, we're going for a walk now, we're going to eat now, we're going to go to sleep now. They don't have planners. They don't have Google Calendar when something is coming up. They are relying solely on information being given to them about what to expect next. And I think that can be very unsettling for a child. Obviously, as parents, it's our job to, you know, keep our family structure going, and we have that control. But when you think about children who can't even tell time yet, the amount of uncertainty with change can be really unsettling. So that's kind of how we can start to think about the changes, preparing them for them. I have a lot of really hopefully helpful tips that can help parents prepare their children for any transition that's coming. Some of them, you can use them for any transition. Some of them are a little bit more specific. And I'm going to try and dive into some of the questions you got, Erica, on your page.
I'm so excited. So before we tackle the questions, would you prefer to talk about the tips, or would you prefer to talk about the questions and then introduce the tips and the questions? What's the best thing for you?
Yeah, I can definitely talk about the tips and then through them introduce the questions. There were a few, but transitioning to school, getting dressed, getting coats on, all those fun things that can cause some stress for us and our children. So I will definitely touch on those in my tips as well.
Okay, so questions, tips in? I know, I'm like, I just have to clarify because I feel like my brain is a little mushy right now.
You are not alone.
Let's talk about school then. Okay, there's a couple different, I mean, there's a lot of components to school. Let's talk about parents who have children who are going to be going to school soon. How can you start preparing for this?
Excellent question. And it's such an important thing for us to think about. So school is going to be a huge transition for our children. Even if they've been going to daycare or some sort of childcare arrangement, school is very, very different. And I think one of the most important things, it's a very simple thing that we sometimes overlook, but it's just to talk to them about it and to keep talking to them about it. So it's something that needs to be repeated over and over and over. So let's say they're starting school next September. So from June or even before, we are going to take them for a little drive by their school. And we're going to say, this is where you're going to be going to school. How do you feel about it? What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? We're going to take them for walks around the school. We're going to tell them what school looks like. We're going to explain to them, okay, so when school rolls around, when September comes, you're going to have your very own backpack, your very own lunch bag, getting them nice and excited about it, telling them exactly what it's going to look like. So saying, at this time in the morning, we're going to get ready. I'm going to drop you off. I'm going to say goodbye and give you a hug. And then you're going to go inside and there's going to be lots to play with, lots to do. It's just giving them, trying to fill in, because they're starting to form ideas of what school is. We want to try and dispel any of those really, really scary, terrifying thoughts that they're probably having about school. So telling them about what they can expect, asking them what they think school looks like, because we definitely want to try and, like I said, dispel some of those things that are going on in their minds. Taking them for tours, letting them see what school looks like. And then part of talking to them about it is reading them books. I have seen firsthand how effective it is to read our children books about a similar experience that they're going through or something that they will have to adapt to. And there's so many amazing books. I really like The Invisible String. I like The Kissing Hand, such a good book. Just any book that talks about, there's all these books about like the night before kindergarten, the night before preschool. It's just such a beautiful visual for them to see, oh, there's other kids that are going to be doing this too. And this is how they're coping. Looks like they're having fun. So reading to them, I remember with my son starting kindergarten, he was already in preschool, but I knew that school would be a whole other ball game. So I read a lot of these books to him. And I felt like it helped him. He still struggled a bit with the transition, which is normal, but I felt like he was able to, like he'd come from school and say, Mommy, it's like the book. They, you know, the kids would gather around, sit on. So I'm like, okay, great. So that helped him. So talking to them, reading them books, taking them for tours, helping them pick out some of their school items can be really helpful. Labeling them with you, putting, I know some people get those sticker labels. Just helping them feel like, okay, this is happening and maybe it's not as scary as I think it is. The other really helpful thing for kids is when we tell them about our experiences of going through a really difficult change or transition. Kids love to hear our stories about when we were kids. My children are always fascinated.
All the time.
Right? It's like, oh, you were once a child too.
Their minds explode.
It really does. So just telling them, you know what, on my first day of school, it wasn't very easy for me. I was really scared. I was feeling nervous and scared and I didn't know what to expect. And then it actually didn't go too bad. I made some friends. So that can be also a really helpful tool. And if you know of any children that are going to be in the same school or class as your child, to maybe, I know now with COVID playdates are kind of a thing of the past, but if by next September there's a way even outside to get, to just see another child that's going to be in their class or school, I think it's really helpful when we know someone going into a situation.
Yeah,
those would be kind of my main tips. So talking to them, reading them books, helping them prepare their supplies with you, picking out their backpacks, their lunch bags, whatever control you can give them over that situation is going to be perfect. It's going to be really helpful. And then telling them about your own experiences and trying to help them find a friend ahead of time if you know of anyone that's going to be sending their kids to the same school.
I think that is the most wonderful advice. And I so wish I had heard that with Aubrey before she started junior kindergarten, because as we talked about before I started recording, I did nothing to prepare. I don't know why. I don't know what I was thinking. And it did not go well for the first month. It was literally me handing, and you could still, teachers could still touch kids at that point, literally taking like a screaming, thrashing kid and literally just passing her to the teacher, being like, take her, and turning and running the other direction for about a month because I didn't do that. But with SK, I was very concerned because she's in school now with, when we were recording this, we're in the midst of COVID. Maybe future when this is recorded, it won't be, or released, it won't be, but.
I want to take a quick minute for this season's podcast sponsor, Bathorium. I was so excited when they agreed to sign up to be this season's podcast sponsor because I have been a huge fan since COVID started. And even more interestingly, I wasn't a bath fan before I started using their products. I didn't like the idea of having to sit still and take a bath. And now through COVID, it is the only time that I can and only way that I find I'm able to decompress and take a moment to myself. My favorite are the bath soaks. They're so, so wonderful. And I get out feeling smooth and relaxed and amazing. And they've decided to give you guys 15% off on everything on their website. All you need to do to get the code and get access to that discount is go to mumbreak.ca/bath. I'm super excited to support this Canadian company who make all of their vegan and ethically produced products in Canada. I even love talking to the marketing manager, who's an Ottawa mom, who is a wonderful human being. So super excited about this podcast sponsor. Go check out their stuff, mumbreak.ca/bath, to get 15% off.
I was very concerned because then you can't physically pass her to the teacher. So we did just that, and we went, and they have little dots where they have to stand on to get into the school, and they have all these things. So we went and we actually practiced, and we have not had one day whereby she had a trouble to go. We had one day, but that was because she heard someone saying they're sick. So she's like, I'm sick too, mommy. I get to go home with you, right? I was like, no, that's not how it works. You keep your mouth shut. You are not sick. Do not tell anybody you're sick, Aubrey. Stop.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
but just that small change, her little mind could wrap, and she already knew, of course, what to expect. So it was so great. So let's talk about, from school perspective, the day in and day out of getting ready and getting the, once the kids are in school, how do you avoid, and I know I post about it a lot because, well, I mean, being in Canada, we're like snowsuits, and the build up to getting out the door is even more because there's so many things to put on the screaming children who just managed to thrash their way out of them somehow once you finally get them on, and then you finally get them in the snowsuits and they have to pee. So, or poop randomly. And then they sit there and they're like, no, just kidding, I didn't have to poop. I'm like, God. Great. Everyone's common struggle in Canada. But what can you suggest from a change perspective than getting your kids out to school and holding out the door into school?
Yeah, excellent question again. And you are not alone. And, you know, I just want to go back quickly to that piece where you said you hadn't done anything to prepare Aubrey. You know, I know the guilt is probably there, but to any mom who's listening and to you, it's okay. We are dealing with so much as parents every day. You would be surprised how many things everybody misses. Like, and it's just like very, very simple, common things, missing appointments, missing a symptom that our child is having. We don't get it checked out because we are just so overwhelmed. And I hear this from moms all the time. I can't believe I missed this. I can't believe I didn't do this. And I tell her, if you had the capability, you would have done it. This just means that at that point in your life, you were dealing with so much. You had a lot on your mind, just the transition of your child starting school. You were probably trying to cope with it yourself. And it's not always easy for us to just think, okay, this is what I need to do. If this wasn't my career, I probably would have missed it too. I probably would have been so focused on other things. Okay, we need their supplies. We need to make sure they have their splash pants and their rain boots and their lunch boxes and which lunchbox. It's just so hard to think about all the things. So to any mom, and Erica, you are an amazing mom, and every mom who's listening, give yourself so much compassion because it's okay to miss things. We learn. We need to forgive ourselves for what we didn't know.
So so needed. Thank you so much for saying that.
No problem. We all need to hear it because we all make little things here and there that, you know, looking back, we don't make sense to us why we didn't do them, but then there was a reason. So in terms of getting our kids out in the morning, so again, I know this sounds cliche, but a lot of it starts the night before. So getting all their stuff ready. I know the last thing we want to do is get off the couch and do some prep work, but it'll help a lot in the morning. Get all their stuff ready by the door. And Erica, I've seen you do this on your page, which is fabulous. Getting all their winter gear. You're right, here in Canada, we're at a bit of a disadvantage. Month long winters, having to add another 7 pieces of clothing that our kids have to put on every morning. So I hear you. Getting all their stuff at the door. And like you said, once in your post, putting them apart, because kids like to become a little rough sometimes with each other when they're getting dressed, and they're pushing sometimes and poking and stealing hats. So give them each their space. And what I find really, really helpful for kids is having a visual schedule or having a visual like checklist at the door. This really helps. I think even in schools, they do this sometimes, and in daycare centers. So having, you can just print off the pictures. You can just do it on like Microsoft Word or Google Images or something. Just have like the hat, the jacket, the snow pants, the gloves. What else do they have to put on? Neck warmer. I don't know what else they're putting on these days. There's just too much. Having them all as a checklist, but a check. They could put a sticker. They could just look at it and say, okay, this is what I need to put. It just makes it more official rather than us saying things, because kids don't always hear us when we tell them to put stuff on, but when they see it on, you know, it's official, it's on a poster by the door, this is what we need to put on. And like I said, you can have them check it off. You can say, okay, every time you put something on, check it off. It might seem like it'll take longer, but it might actually make it quicker because they want to check it off. They can be in a race against time. So if some kids put on a timer, you could just put it on your phone. Or for kids that don't quite understand time and what that entails, putting on a song they like. So putting on Frozen, putting on any song they like, and saying by the time the song is done, we have to have all our clothes on because we're going to leave the house at that point. So making it kind of like a game, making it fun, making it where they can track their progress. Okay, I put on my coat, I put on this, I put on that. And giving them the right order, because I know sometimes kids put on their jacket, then they forget their snow pants. So, but, and I know, Erica, you came up with a really cool song the other day on your page to help them.
Oh, I stole it from school. But yes, thank you. I'll take credit for that, sure. I teach my kids nothing. I just repurpose what the teachers and daycare people do.
That is amazing that you do that, though. That's great. So yeah, just trying to give them, setting them up for doing it and doing it right. So yeah, like I said, a timer, having it posted by the door somewhere. There, some schools even have these little booklets that show, my son once came home from school with it, a book that talks about what I need to get dressed in the morning every day, especially in the winter. It was just a cute little booklet, and he got to color it, and we read it every night before he went to sleep. Okay, so tomorrow morning when you wake up, what do you have to put on? And he'd go through the book and he'd tell me. So it's just a helpful tool to prepare them ahead of time. So yeah, reading to them, having all their stuff by the door, putting on a timer or a song, making it fun. Yeah, just helping them realize that it's not as daunting. So. And if there are emotions associated with it, just try to, you know, take a deep breath, realize that it's probably because they just don't want that separation. They love you so much. It's not always visible, but they love you and that they don't want to leave you. So sometimes it takes that one extra minute of connection, going down to their level, giving them a hug and saying, I know it's hard for you. I don't want to leave the house either. I wish we can stay home all day and just have fun and be together. But guess what? We're going to go for a few hours to school and I'm going to go to work and we're going to be back here before you know it. And we're going to do X, Y, Z once we're home. It takes about a minute, but you might find your child is able to like take a sigh of relief that, you know, someone gets it. Someone gets that I don't want to leave and they feel kind of the same way as me. Okay, I can do this. I can go to school and we'll be back together in a few hours. So connection can really work wonders with our kids.
I love that. Now, when getting out the door, and I know I sort of mentioned that we're not going to talk about specific stuff. I'm going to keep it a little bit more general, but there was a text question that came in about getting jackets on and getting out the door specifically for a kid who has like a sensory tactile processing disorder. So any tips on that specifically, and then maybe you can also just like a hot, really high level explain sensory disorders and how, you know what, actually I'm going to take it a step back. Sensory processing disorders I think are really, really common, and I know it's, we hadn't planned to talk about it, we planned to talk about change, but so many of the questions we got were all about, you know, how can I implement this change with this sensory processing disorder, and then each, the parent would specify which type. So can you just explain what those are, and then maybe as an example we can talk about dealing with this change of coats on in school with a tactile sensory processing disorder.
Sure. And this is definitely, it's quite common. Children, I a big part of my job is to look at, it's administering the sensory questionnaire to parents and teachers, and you'd be surprised how many sensory systems can be impacted in our children. So sometimes it's the auditory system where they have a really hard time with noises, background noises, chewing noises, anything like that. The tactile is a really, really big one. They don't like to be touched, or they want to be touched. They like that deep pressure. They don't like that deep pressure. They bump into kids a lot. They stand too close to other kids. They can't tolerate certain textures, certain clothing, certain tags on their clothes, socks. I see that quite a bit. So it's definitely a system that I work with a lot. And the way I look at it is, for sensory processing, when we are overloaded with sensory stimulation every day, our brains are able to filter and say, okay, I feel the chair I'm sitting on isn't very comfortable. The light coming from there is really, really bright. I can hear someone chewing their gum really loudly in the next room. But my brain is able to filter those things and adapt, and then I can focus on the task I'm doing. For children with sensory processing difficulties, that filtering isn't always going to happen. So they are being bombarded with all this sensory stimulation all the time. It's like walking into Walmart during the holidays, right? You are just bombarded. That's their brain all the time. So I find it really helpful to explain that they have too much going on in their brains to be able to focus. And that's why a lot of children have a hard time in class learning and focusing, because the feeling of the chair is too uncomfortable. The pants they're wearing, the texture from the inside is just sending them into a big sensory overload situation. So definitely with the coat, it's interesting because there's different elements with the coat. Is it truly a sensory concern, or is it a control? Is it that the child just wants to exert some of that independence that, okay, I've been told what to do all day. Right now, I'm not going to put on my coat because this is the one last thing I have control over. Or is it that doing this will help me stall going to school and leaving my parents and leaving home? Is there something at school that I don't want to have to deal with? So not putting on my coat means I'm not going to have to go. So I don't know, like there's just so many elements of it that we'd have to kind of explore further. But I definitely do hear about the coat situation, and there's different ways to deal with it. There's a few different approaches, just depending on what your child, what their personality and temperament are like, and what you're comfortable doing. So I actually had this similar situation happen with my daughter yesterday. She didn't want to put on her gloves. I told her, we have to put on our gloves to be able to go outside. I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want your hands to hurt. I don't want you to get cold. And she's like, no, no gloves. And she threw them on the ground. And I said, okay.
And she's five, right?
He's three. So,
yes.
My son is the five. Yeah. So yeah, he's my
son. We have the opposite.
Yeah. Same ages, but opposite. And so she threw them on the ground and I said, okay, well, we're not leaving until you put on your gloves because we're going for a walk outside and it's really cold. So we're just going to stand here and wait. So I was all dressed. My son was all dressed. We were all just standing at the door. And my son was like, come on, Layla, put on your gloves so we can go outside. So it was like pleading with her. And we stood there for about a minute. And I told her, let me know when you're ready and I'll help you put your gloves on. And she's like, Mommy, I'm ready. I'm like, okay.
Aww.
So she just needed that minute. She needed to know that I wasn't going to back down. Yes, if we were in a rush to get somewhere, this would have been a lot harder to do, but we were just going for a walk. So I was able to wait. She saw that we were all fully dressed. Mommy was wearing gloves. Her brother was wearing gloves. And so she let me help her with her gloves. The other thing, is to realize how firm are you on this boundary? How important is it that they do the thing that you're asking them to do? If it's not that big of a battle, you can, you know, you can give them that choice. You can say, okay, if you don't want to wear it now, you can take it with you and wear it when we're outside. Chances are they're going to wear it within the first couple of minutes because it's freezing. With the coat, I know we're always so scared of them getting cold. So some parents, I haven't personally done this with my kids, but I know some parents will say, bring it with you. And once you're cold, you can wear it. And then kids will put it on within the first couple minutes because they're freezing. And then next time they'll probably be like, maybe I should put my coat on from the start because, you know, it was so cold last time I went out. So there's a few different approaches. It's either giving them a choice. Do you want me to help you put it on, or are you going to put it on yourself? If it's something with the actual jacket that's creating that sensory concern for the child, is the tag too itchy? Is it hitting? Because when they put on their coats, there's like a little space between where their hat comes down and then where the coat reaches, and then their neck is kind of visible a little bit. So is the tag scratching his neck? Is the inside of the jacket, the material, is there a different material that we can put there? Or can he wear a cardigan to try and kind of take away some of that? Is if it's the polyester that they don't like, helping them or asking them, what is it about your jacket that you don't like? Is it something about how it feels? Is it too heavy? Is it too light? Do you need a little bit more pressure? Do you need it to be tighter? Do you need it to be bigger? Sometimes our kids can tell us a lot when we just give them the opportunity, and just, yeah, trying to give them as much control, as much choice, maybe have him label his jacket. Say, here's your jacket. Here's a label. You can decorate the inside of your jacket. Just getting them that buy-in, helping them understand that this is something that needs to be put on when we go outside. And then just, yeah, trying to explore further. What is it about the jacket that's creating such a sensory aversion to you wanting to put it on?
No, I love that. And I know that I didn't give you a lot of information in the question.
Okay. No worries. Yeah,
but you answered it so completely. So I really appreciate that. And it's funny because we did have that scenario. Well, again, not that exact scenario because Austin doesn't have sensory stuff, but he didn't want to wear his mitts and I was in a rush and I, you know what, it was cold. It was a really, really cold day, but he is old enough now that if he's cold, he can tell me. Whereas if he's, you know, a 1-year-old, they can't, and the mitts are going on, I don't care.
Right.
But he, sure enough, within the first few minutes, mommy, I'm cold, mitts. I was like, okay, cool. And then he's never done it again because he knows. So it was kind of, it's so interesting how their little minds work. So interesting.
A lot. I always just look at them as this like little person that's crying out for help, right? That's just reaching out saying, I'm overwhelmed, or I have had no control in my day. This is the last thing that I can play right now, and I'm going to play it because I need to feel some independence. I need to feel some control. And the more they start to develop, the more they'll want to do this, right? And then into the teen years, oh gosh, can't imagine how that's going to look like. But it's just this, and when you think about it, we're the same. Nobody would want their spouse or their boss to say, this is exactly what you're going to do every single day, every minute of the day. We would start to want to kind of exert our own independence and start to question things and say, well, I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. Our children are no different, but they have a lot less experience coping and regulating themselves than we do. So just to put the perspective.
It's such a helpful perspective. And I think even just switching, it took me a long time to switch that perspective. But once I was able to, it made everything else easy. Every moment was easier once I flipped that perspective. But it was a hard thing to change. And it took many, to be frank, many, many years and a second child. And, you know, me not being able to controlling things. Now there's two of them to be able to flip it. But it's such an enlightening thing. Are there any other situations or changes that you want to chat about before we wrap things up? Because I know we had talked about a few things, but like it's such a good conversation. I want to make sure we cover everything.
There's so much. Do you want me to quickly go over some of the tips to deal with general changes?
Yes, I have please. Let's wrap. Let's end with that because I think that would be so wonderful.
Yeah, just things that can be applied to pretty much any change. So we already talked about the first one. Talk about the change that's coming up. I think sometimes we get too involved in the change, like a move. We're too busy packing and moving to actually sit down and ask your kids, how are you feeling? What kind of things are you worried about? So just to talk to them about what that's going to look like. Allow for feelings, number two. There's going to be feelings probably about many changes. Even like I said, if it's a positive one, like going on a trip, there will be lots of feelings, big feelings associated with that. And just to try and acknowledge and validate what they're going through. It can go a long way to just say, I see how hard this is for you and I'm here for you. It can go a really long way. Ensure proper sleep and nutrition. The very first question I ask usually when I see a child is, how are they sleeping? Has a huge impact on their ability to function, ability to cope with stress and tolerate new experiences. So, and nutrition. So making sure they're getting a lot of those veggies and whole grains and protein and all those good foods. Obviously we can't do that all the time. I'm a mom too, and we have Goldfish crackers a lot around here. So no guilt, no judgment, just to try your best whenever we can. The other thing is children take their cues from us as their parents. So if we are significantly stressed and overwhelmed and frustrated and they hear us saying these things to our family or friends, like, oh my God, this change or this move, or I'm just so overwhelmed and stressed by it, that's probably going to become their emotions about it. And this isn't to say that we're not allowed to express our feelings around our kids. We are. But just to be mindful that they will likely start to think the same. And they probably don't have the tools, or they absolutely don't have the tools to cope like we do. So just to be mindful of what we're kind of saying around them, if we do express these feelings, to just say, you know, mommy's feeling really, really stressed right now, but this is how I'm going to cope with it. I'm going to go out for a walk. I'm going to have something healthy to eat. I'm going to take some deep breaths. I know I'm going to get through this. So to just kind of help them understand that there's feelings and there's ways to cope with those feelings. Children need ongoing reassurance to keep hearing that they're loved, secure, they're safe. Sometimes I remember with my son, whenever we'd have a bit of a hard day and I'd get kind of upset with his behavior, he'd say, "Mommy, do you still love me?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, of course I still love you." I felt like he needed to keep hearing from me, even when we've had a hard day, even when we've had some challenges and our behavior wasn't as, you know, as wonderful that day. I love you. I tell him, I love you no matter what. No matter what you do, I will always love you. Especially before bed, we always talk about our day, and I always make sure he understands that. So sometimes children just need to keep hearing during a change, you're safe, things are going to be okay, and I love you. Children do best with routine and consistency. Any OT you work with will probably push the importance of routine and consistency. It really helps them, you know, just cope, find that there's predictability in their day. Having a visual schedule, if that helps you by your door or on their night table, this is what our day is going to look like tomorrow. This is what we're going to do. And just helping them see it. My son, we opted for remote learning this year just because I could do some work from home and it just worked with our family situation better. And the first day of school, I put a visual schedule by his desk where he sits so he can see, okay, when is it TV time? When is it play time? When is it outside for walk times? And he actually looks at it and references it during the day.
So cute.
Super helpful. So helping them with that routine. Talk about examples, like I said, from your own childhood about going through change and how you coped with it. Reading children's books about change. And this is kind of one of the reasons why I wrote my book, because I couldn't find a book that talked about change in a general sense and then also a specific way as well and how to cope with it. So just a really helpful way to help our children with change is to read to them about it. Offer them choices whenever we can, choices that we can live with. So just keep that in mind. It has to be a choice you can live with. You know, which of these outfits would you like to wear today? Do you want to go to the park or the library this afternoon? Which of these books do you want to read? That kind of thing. This one's really good. Create new rituals. So when you are going through a change as a family, trying to find a really enjoyable, fun, new ritual that you can add in there. It just helps it go from like, oh, this is such a hard change in our family, but actually a really positive thing came out of it. So could it be going to a new park or movie night every Friday or just doing something different that will help your child associate change with a positive thing sometimes. And yeah, those were kind of my general tips. And then I dive into some specific things, but it'll be probably three more podcast episodes to cover it all.
You can come back anytime. I feel such a sense of calm right now. And I'm like, I partly want you just to keep talking on my podcast forever, but also partly want you just to parent my children. Just please come mother them for me.
Oh gosh. Are you honestly? I get a lot. I have these struggles. I have so many struggles. This year especially has been so difficult in so many ways. I always tell people, even for people that work with kids, therapists, OTs, psychologists, we all have these struggles with our kids because children are supposed to sometimes act this way. Children are supposed to push our limits. Obviously, there's situations where we need to seek help if it's becoming too much of, you know, a challenge in our life and our family. But I struggle just as much as the next mom. I have times where none of the strategies work. Nothing works. Okay, let's just get through this day. Let's get to bedtime and start fresh tomorrow. So I'm right there with you. And you are doing an awesome job. And so are all the other mothers out there. If anyone has any questions, they can always come send me a DM on Mother Care Journey. That's where you can find me. And I'd love to chat more with Erica at any time about any of these changes. And I'm so glad to be here today.
And please, guys, go buy her book. And I don't say this, I don't say this lightly because it's again the appropriate length for a parent. But it also, it's what I like about it is that it. A, not only have you also, like, your illustrator is great in that they've managed to capture real life situational moments where the kids are experiencing, like maybe going grocery shopping with masks on or the distancing or whatever it might be. But there's also, you sneak in little strategies in there as well. Like there's one page, I believe, where it's like you count backwards to 10 or you count whatever with your hand and you put your hand on your heart. But now as we read that, Aubrey and I sit and we do those as we read it. And I can feel her whole little body just sort of soften as we do it, which is really nice. And I think you should, you have a link in your profile, for your book.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right in my bio there.
Perfect. So go check out our bio on Instagram, Mother Care Journey. And, please go buy her book because it's so, for the kids. It's so good. And it's also, I'm so happy to support you in your journey in this as well, because I think it's no small feat to have a book published and during COVID. Like it's a wonderful accomplishment. So congratulations on everything that you've managed to achieve this year in this really kind of wild, weird year. It's hopefully some good of it will come for you.
Thank you so much, Erica. I appreciate that. And just hearing that it helped your daughter in some way means the world to me. It really, really does.
Well, it's even interesting. And I want to just point this out because this is sort of a really big aside from this conversation. But the illustrator has managed to depict also like different cultures and ethnicities. And you have kids in wheelchairs. And it's from that perspective too, even because of that, I was like, can you spot people wearing hijab? So now she knows what hijab is and then we can have that conversation. And it's just so thoughtful. Like the book is so well thought out and it's little things that she can learn, whether it's, you know, learning what hijab is or, you know, learning why someone's in a wheelchair or the distancing or the counting or the hand on the heart. In a short time frame for me before bedtime.
Welcome, parents everywhere. You're welcome.
Anyways, I just felt the need to like kind of pimp you out there for a moment. So I hope that's okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it more than you know. I'm so glad it's helpful. And yeah, I really appreciate all your wonderful words about it.
Oh, well, thank you for taking the time to join me on this episode today. I so appreciate it. And I hope that you guys can go check her out and start implementing some of these tips with all your exciting, wonderful, lovely, challenging kiddos out there.
Thanks, Erica.
I hope you guys like that episode with Runda. She is at Mother Care Journey. She is a wonderful human being. So thank you for listening today. And as always, if you love this episode and you want to keep seeing amazing guests, I would love if you could go to wherever you're listening and leave a review, write a comment about what you liked, because that is how I poach guests. They will look, they will see, I have lots of great reviews, people listen, people like it, and they are going to spend their valuable time to come and talk with me. And that is sort of how the podcast world works. So thank you guys in advance, and I so appreciate you listening today. Have a wonderful day, whatever you have planned. I'm not the one who's always right.